save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. Is that the right? Yeah, that's the right way to do that. We're broadcasting worldwide and live, mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at mightyhouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on homeimprovementusa.com. Find links to all of them at mightyhouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at mightyhouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House.
Mighty House.
And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611, and you'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at
MrFloor.com.
And if you want to save 50% on your next...
And
if you want to save on your Mr. Floor cleaning products purchase, you can actually use the promo code SUMMER50, and you'll get 50% off of your next purchase at MrFloor.com. And that is running through tomorrow. After tomorrow, you will no longer get that. So let's see.
So tomorrow will be the last day then.
Tomorrow it will be the last day. All right, let's get Liz to kind of slide over this way a little bit. Keep coming over here. Keep coming. There, stop. Right there. See, now you're right in line with the camera there for Facebook.
Oh, perfect.
And Randall's working on it. He's playing around with it. So we got Liz, and is it Wimmer?
It is. I just recently got married, so yes.
Do we say congratulations or not?
Sure.
Okay.
Right. How recently?
Yeah, she said recently, so you can say congratulations.
Yeah.
Early June.
So. Oh, yay. Wow.
Very recently.
Yep.
Excellent.
So she's still on her honeymoon, damn.
Yeah, she is.
She wanted to come here.
Yeah. Got to talk about green homes.
Right.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. And then we also have Lindsay from?
EcoAchievers.
EcoAchievers.
Yep.
All right. There you go. So EcoAchievers does?
We're a green building consulting company. So we work with primarily the residential market, single family, multifamily, doing all the green building certifications, energy modeling, HVAC design. Whatever we can do to help make the house more efficient and high performance, or the buildings more efficient and high performance, we're there.
Excellent. So, Liz, explain what the USGBC is, or what are you calling yourselves now?
So we are the Illinois Green Alliance, formerly USGBC Illinois. We're still the local USGBC chapter.
What is USGBC? And you say it so fast.
I do. It's the U.S. Green Building Council.
Okay.
But we are the local USGBC chapter. So we are a membership-driven nonprofit. And we have a membership of architects, engineers, energy service providers, product manufacturers. So it's just a wide range of green building and sustainability professionals make up our membership. And we are focused on bringing green building and sustainability best practices to Chicago and the rest of Illinois.
Excellent. Okay, so now slide a little bit to your left.
All right, we're dancing over here.
There, stop right there. Now Randall can, there you go. Now, if you move the mic off to the side a little bit and go like this, then you'll be able to actually
see.
Oh,
there we go.
For those who are wondering,
yes,
we're on Mighty House Radio Show on Facebook, and we're live.
Yes.
And that's what we're trying to do, is to line up the photos.
We're setting up her camera so that people can actually see her.
Right. So go to Facebook,
and normally
go to Mighty
House
Radio
Show. It's not this big of a production, but for whatever reason, today was different.
It's raining today. Mm-hmm. That's why. Is it still raining out there?
It's a little drizzly.
It's sprinkling.
A little drippy. Yep. Mm.
Okay. All right. So Every year you guys kind of throw together some stuff to do, like a green build tour.
You make it sound like, we'll just throw it together.
Yeah.
No.
They just kind of throw it together.
No.
It's, It's like,
you know, it's months of planning. We've been recruiting homes since earlier this year. And so we take in applications from homes that are doing green and sustainable things. And the big thing that we're looking for, too, is that they're having some sort of third party certification or verification that they're actually doing what they're saying they're doing.
Is that where Lindsay steps in?
And that is where Lindsay steps in.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually have a number of projects on the tour this year, which is exciting because we get to see kind of all the work in action. And it's just awesome to be able to promote them and for them to be able to tell their stories.
Are you just coming in at the end then and just like running a checklist? How does this work?
Yeah, we basically just come in for the last half an hour. And
I would think most of it would have to start in the design phase.
Correct, correct. So with the grand majority of these certifications, we always like to bring in the projects as early as possible. So that way, if they're going for a certification, we can determine early on whether they comply.
Okay.
So that's a big thing to make sure to be able to identify that at the get-go. And then if they have different goals for instance, LEED, if they want to go certified, platinum, the whole spectrum, we need to be able to verify throughout that they're meeting these requirements and that the materials they're choosing and some of the features of the home are complying with the certification. So
yes, we only use Chinese drywall with hydrogen sulfide.
Yes.
Yes. But it's that design, it's the energy modeling and certification component, and then during mid-construction we'll come in for framing and insulation inspections because the thermal performance is imperative, and then at the end we'll do the final testing with blower doors and duct tests, and we'll come in sometime during mid-construction and do the blower doors and duct tests. So yeah, it's a very involved process.
So you're doing duct blasting on top of all.
Correct. Ventilation,
duct leakage testing.
Duct leakage testing, yep, exhaust.
We
all
talked
of
about
it.
Leakage last week, but it wasn't duct leakage.
Come on.
What?
She's kind of like a one track mind.
Bring it all together.
Full circle.
Thank you.
Yep.
So how
the guys are grossed out about this and what she's talking. Okay, anyway.
The homes on your tour, do they have to? Can you just have one green thing, or the whole home has to be certified green, or can you say, like, for example, this home has solar or whatever? Do you have to? What percentage of the home has to be?
So all of the homes, I should say we have a range of certifications or verifications that the homes are going for. So from DOE Zero Energy Ready all the way to LEED.
What is DOE Zero Energy Ready?
I know.
She throws out all these
I'm
acronyms
just throwing
at you.
Out all these terms. I'm sorry.
So I can handle that.
Okay.
So among the types of certifications that you get, we've got a category that's mostly focused on energy performance and then other ones that are more comprehensive. So,
okay.
So in the energy performance category is Energy Star, which is the DOE program. And then the step above that is Zero Energy Ready. So
DOE
is Department of Energy.
Thank you.
Yep. Yep.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then above that would be Passive House. So Zero Energy Ready uses Energy Star as their basis and then goes above that. And it requires also water efficiency or distribution efficiency. There's a component for Indoor Air Plus, and there's also a component for being solar ready so that we can eventually offset all of this. So it's designed to be as minimal load as possible, and then if they don't already in the future, put on solar or some other renewable.
Are you addressing indoor air quality? Because I know that was one of the bigger issues that a lot of people kind of went away from LEED for a while because it was addressing energy more than health.
Yes. So Zero Energy Ready program does have the Indoor Air Plus program. Passive House incorporates Indoor Air Plus. So as we're tightening the envelopes and getting them more performance, we need to make sure that we're not bringing in some of these more high toxic things. So
right.
So it's
like carpeting
it's in that design
in your furniture.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Also
right.
Focusing on materials too,
yep.
And what you're bringing into the home is a big piece of that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you may not. I'm all the way down in Southwest Florida, and I build large customs, and I watch everything that is spec'd by designers and so on, and make sure that just that it's non-VOC and, you know, wool carpets, things like that, if we do carpet.
Yeah.
But you got to watch all that now.
And that makes a big difference. I mean, if you had an older home that's really leaky and you brought this stuff in, who cares?
Be gone in a week.
You've got 15 air changes per hour. It's no big deal. But, you know, all of a sudden you have this really tight home, really energy efficient home, and you bring in that nasty carpet. And
you bring in dry cleaning in a plastic bag. And I tell people all the time, take it out of the plastic bag right away. Don't hold it in your closet. End on that.
But that makes a big difference.
It does.
So you got to think about that. So we're going to talk more with Liz and Lindsay from, what do you guys call yourselves now?
Illinois Green Alliance.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on it.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live, MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor Helpline. It's 877-711-5611. And you have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And you can use promo code SUMMER50 until tomorrow to get 50% off of your next purchase at MrFloor.com. And if somebody wanted to sign up for the newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
Oh, you just shoot on over to MightyHouse.net. Click on the contact page. First, last name, email address. Click on submit, and that's it. Every Friday, you get a newsletter letting you know who's going to be on with great links, like the links to get to the Greenbelt Tour is in the newsletter.
That's it. Just like that.
Come join us.
Yeah. Do people name their houses the Bold and Beautiful?
Yeah, they all got their own creative names that they've got going on there.
Some of them are just
what's your favorite?
And by the way, we've got Liz and Lindsay from the
Illinois Green Alliance.
USGBC, it was formerly known as. And you guys do a home tour.
Yeah.
And when is this home tour?
So this year's home tour is July 28th and 29th. So that's Saturday and Sunday. And we have the tour going on from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day.
Okay.
Yep. And this is the sixth annual tour. Mm-hmm. So, and each year it's expanded a little bit, and it's in different pockets. The majority are around the Chicagoland area, but we've got one down in Pembroke. So
near Kankakee.
Yep. So, so it's really good for if you're participating to kind of plan the tour in advance, so that you take it in chunks, and you're able to spend the amount of time that you want to get there and look at it a little more logistically.
Yeah. So,
for example, I was going to say there's one in Lyle, two in Downers Grove. You know, one in LaGrange, you can kind of hit those
Leslie?
Together.
Yeah, there's a lot of western suburbs homes this year, actually. And then there's a couple clustered near University of Chicago. And we have either a single home ticket where you can see one home for $5 and that admits two people, or a passport ticket, which allows you to see all the homes unlimited for two people for $20 throughout the whole weekend. So you can kind of plan out what your tour route is and take your time throughout the 2 days to make sure you hit all the homes.
So, have you seen all the homes?
I have not. It's the first time that I get to see the homes really is during that tour weekend. Yeah. I think the max that I've ever hit is I think last year I got to close to all 10. I think I got to 7 of the 10, but this year we have 15. So there's a lot.
Yeah.
Got some pretty unique homes on the tour this year as well.
Yeah. You go over some of the features that you think are kind of stand out for this class.
Sure. So it's interesting. A lot of them actually do have the Zero Energy Ready Home certification. We have a mid-rise project or a mid-rise building, so multiple units. We've got the lead platinum in Evanston. We've got the all-electric. We have just there's a variety. The Victorian.
I was going to say there's actually a historically landmarked home really? In Downers Grove that they are expanding on that original floor plan with all the high efficiency technologies and insulation. So there, that one actually I think will be really cool. And then the other one that I think will be kind of neat is that we have a prefab home on the tour, and that one is in Oak Park. So it was actually. You know, constructed and built in this factory in Indiana and then built in, like, put back together in Oak Park. So I think that one is pretty unique for this year as well.
Yeah. Okay, I got a lot of questions about that one.
Would that be like a Sears manufactured,
home? Manufactured housing is definitely going to be kind of the way of the future because doing things in a controlled environment are going to make those products better. Wall panels, roof panels, everything are far better than doing it out on site.
Okay. You have much more control, less waste. It's just more efficient process.
Lindsay, maybe you can answer this. Because of the unique electrical codes that we're going to have in this area, if somebody from Indiana, they just run extension cords through their house.
Right. Okay. No, Romex.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, they call that Romex. So they run their extension cords through the house, and that's how they would build. How are you going to do that with conduit in this in a prefabbed home? How can you get the conduit and take care of it?
Yeah,
properly?
They do have pre-wired
walls?
Take care of some of the holes and conduits. I don't know if they do like an inspection, like if they have the inspector come down there. For this particular home, that was also one of our projects that's going through Zero Energy Ready. We had a local energy rater go there and do the insulation inspection. So it was all done and verified. So there's a lot of
That sounds tough to me. But also, you know, plumbing codes are different and electrical codes. So they're building the entire wall assembly when they're doing this. They're not like they're just framing it up and putting and then setting panels and then siding it and drywalling and insulating it on site.
Yeah.
The whole thing is assembled and set in place, right?
So I think this is one of the great things about the tour. So Tom Bess at Dilley Architects were the ones who created this. And one of the key characteristics of the Greenbuilt Home Tour is that you can go to the site and ask the team all of these questions. Right, exactly. Go get your list ready. So they'll be able to tell you how they worked all of these logistics and made sure that things were, even though it was built in another state, that they're complying with Chicago.
Right.
Nice. Yep.
Really get that firsthand experience and hear the whole process from the architect or the homeowner or the builder. So that's really, you get that one-on-one. Well, I mean, you're in a group, but you really get face-to-face interaction with the people involved with the project.
And the architect or the builder is going to be there. The homeowner is there.
Mm-hmm. Volunteers will be there.
Yeah, we've got volunteer opportunities as well. We need help with checking people in and making sure that the tour is just running smoothly. And we also will have some energy efficiency ambassadors on site. So even if you're not thinking about building your own home, they're going to be providing attendees with some energy tips and talking about some of the devices and programs they're trying in their own home.
All right. So, and then do you get a cool shirt if you volunteer?
You do. You get an awesome shirt.
Does it look like your shirt?
Very similar. This year we're going lime green. And then you also get a passport ticket as well so that once your volunteer shift is over, you can go visit all of the homes.
Oh, so there you go. You volunteer. How long do you have to volunteer to be able to get a free pass?
It's a four-hour shift, so either a morning or an afternoon shift on Saturday or Sunday.
And then you get a free pass to go look at any other house.
Do you have tour buses?
We do not have tour buses. I know that's one question that comes up every year.
Because it's a long distance between homes.
It is a very long distance between homes. So
she suggested you look at the map and lay out your logistics.
I know, but I'm just thinking if we're saving energy and, you know, one person is driving, but instead of having one person.
No, we're talking housing. We don't care about cars.
Yeah.
Find some friends and carpool.
There you go.
Or a bus.
Electric bus.
Have people asked for it before?
Every year.
Every year it's come up. And in the planning committees, too. Mm-hmm. And it just somehow hasn't come to fruition. Huh. But
come on, ladies.
Yeah.
So what you do is you get Tesla to sponsor it, and you get the Model X, so you got the SUV running people around, and it just everybody gets on. They could just get on one and go to the next house whenever mm-hmm. you're ready.
Yeah. It's kind of a crapshoot because you don't know where these homes are going to be each year.
Yeah.
So they tend to be very, very spread out. And mm-hmm. I think that's always one thing that we just encourage people to plan their tour route accordingly.
Well, the cool thing is you've got all this online. What's the website?
It's greenbuilthometour.org. And you can check out all the homes.
B-U-I-L-T. T as in T.
Yeah.
Okay.
So go there. You can go there and then you can look at the different homes and go, oh, I want to see this. Like, how did they build
well, there's
this?
A couple of them on it that are really cool looking. I like the one they named Canceled. home Canceled from Tour. So that happens.
Is that?
No.
Where is that one?
I think that was actually one of our homes from last year, but it does happen just based on construction status or things that, you know, weather sometimes can get in the way of things.
Well, the end user, if these are spec homes or the person that's having the house built, may not want people traipsing through their home. So, it you know, just because you did it doesn't mean you want everybody coming through. But the one Acorn Glade passive house, mm-hmm. that one in Downers, that looks interesting because it's real contemporary architecture, which that's always my favorite.
Yeah, that's the FIAS project. We actually have two different types of passive house projects, PHI, which is the German original version, right. And then FIAS, which is the U.S. version. So, it's actually by the same architect, Tom Bassett-Dilley. So they've made it somewhat right-sized so that it's not super huge, but the perfect size and performs efficiently. So
like we're building we own a lot of property in Babcock Ranch. I don't know if you're aware of that, but it's like east of Fort Myers, and it's a full solar community, has its own field and all that. Cool. So we're building homes in the size of 1900 square feet.
Nice.
Everything's renewable. Everything is, it's crazy how, you know, it's good.
Yeah, small
so
footprint.
The houses will last forever, but it's all self-sufficient subdivision, and it's 50,000 residents.
Wow.
When it's done.
Wow.
It's a town.
Yeah.
I mean, they finished the school, the shopping centers, all that are built. Now they're just building the houses.
Crazy.
So the silly stuff, like no driveways, everything's just stone. You know, because what do you need concrete for? You know,
it's amazing. Amazing. So we've got Liz and Lindsay from the
Illinois Green Alliance.
They're getting it down now. and the website?
It's greenbuilt with a T, hometour.org.
And you can go there, check out all the different homes they've got. If you want to see what net zero is, you've got homes for that.
Yep.
Remodels, which is interesting. Okay. Everybody thinks, oh, I got an older home. I can't do this. You can be on it. It's really interesting to go check these homes out and see how they're performing, how they're working. And it's interesting. Again, when's this tour?
The tour is Saturday and Sunday, July 28th and 29th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day.
Okay.
So I got to ask this because Robbie didn't do it yet.
Yep.
What does doing a passive or greenhouse add to the cost of a home? Is it 10%, 15%, or is it really negligible?
So typically with the passive house projects, we hear anywhere from 5 to 10%. And I think what really happens with that is it's the experience of the builder and the team. So the learning curve can be costly.
All right. I want to say thanks, you guys. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having us.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Well, the job was going smoothly. Two more days and we'd be done. We came in right on budget. Man, this job was so much fun. But I knew the fun was over when the client said, "Hey, son, my wife and I've been talking. There's some changes we need done. That sink's just what we asked for, but my wife thinks we need two. So cut another hole in the counter, boy, should be an easy thing to do. I know we asked for stainless, but we prefer that it be white. The oven's on the left now. Could you put it on the right? Why can't you make up your mind? We did everything you said. You've got to make up your mind. I can't read what's in your head. Well, I'm running out of patience. And I'm running out of time. And you're running out of money. Cause you can't make up your mind. Blue pastels, oyster shells, pink and Kelly green.
These just aren't the colors I saw in the magazine.
What's wrong? It took so long. It seems like that to me.
Can't you do it in a week?
Like Tynes on TV.
Join us on Facebook Live right now. Brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We're broadcasting worldwide and live. MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Fleur helpline. It's 877-711-5611, and you'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Fleur cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFleur.com. All right, and if you use the promo code SUMMER50, that's SUMMER50, you'll save 50% on all your Mr. Fleur cleaning products if you just go to their website and want to purchase it right now. So
yes,
it's always good seeing those the women in and talking about the Greenbelt mm-hmm. tour every year. It's good to have them in.
It's funny though, this place in Vegas. I think people fly in from Vegas to, you know,
yeah,
fly in from Vegas. So if you're visiting in Vegas,
yeah,
welcome. I appreciate it.
They'll let anybody in, you know. Anybody can come and go to the tour.
So you were talking about prefab houses. Isn't that what those Sears houses were? What's the difference?
Yeah, but not panelized and so on. They were definitely kits, but
there was a kit. Everything was pre-cut, but you had to assemble it. This, the entire wall comes with the siding on it. The windows are in it. The insulation's in it. The drywall's on it. Electric's done. All that stuff is done, and they set that.
So that's a gazillion times more expensive?
No.
No, most of the time it's actually cheaper, but where the real difference comes in is where is it built, because if it's not within 500 miles,
right,
then the trucking, and when they do the lead, it's the carbon footprint. So if over that 500-mile point, now your carbon footprint's just increased where it is no longer worth doing.
Mm-hmm. And tell us what LEED stands for.
Was it Leader in Energy and Efficiency Design? Something like that.
Yes.
Which is different than LEED LED.
Correct.
No, yes.
Because that's
it's
LED.
Not a LED light, not LED lights.
But you don't call them LED lights, you call them LED.
They're LED.
That's which because is they're light-emitting diodes, not anything else.
Which is different than LED. LED.
Yes.
Which is different than an R factor. R, what's a pirate's favorite letter?
That's right. That's
I. Right. Very tired.
Really?
Me and Randall.
How much have you had to drink this morning?
I have to... can't seem to stay awake. I just feel very tired.
Why?
I don't know. I'm like, my eyes are tired, so I put the eye drops in.
Oh.
Energy and I invent environmental design.
It's environmental disease from this building, Randall.
Oh.
Oh, absolutely.
There it is.
But it is funny because LEED's had to reinvent itself a few times because, LEED 15, 18 years ago, from what I remember, LEED was everybody, was... The total tree hugger thing, but it was mostly in energy efficiency.
Right.
And again, the house, you put all LED bulbs in, you do low energy stuff, and then everybody got sick because they never addressed the air quality.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's why I brought that up. But so that to me is a bigger component, is dealing with indoor air quality.
Yeah. And that's the whole idea of a green home or energy efficient home. For me, it's how much energy can we save on this house? And that's kind of where my idea of driving it. But like you're saying is, okay, what happens when we do all that to all the stuff we're bringing in? So you bring in carpet, you're bringing in furniture and dressers and stuff that may have formaldehyde in all the plywood that you're bringing in. So now all of a sudden You've got this formaldehyde off-gassing. It's in the home. You start getting sick, and it's not because of the way you built the house. It's because of what you brought into that.
Well, and it's hard, too, because it's hard to get people to understand the importance of what they're doing. They just look at the numbers a lot of times. And, you know, I had a client that we went through and offered the spray foam roof, right?
Right.
Unvented roof structure. We're putting your HVAC equipment in your attic. Would you like it to be within
Okay.
Would you like to have your equipment in conditioned space, or should we just throw it outside, basically, or in the oven, which is what we're doing? Yeah. Well, you know, if I pay for the spray foam, which is, you know, $15,000 upgrade, I can't get my $40,000 in light fixtures.
Right.
And to me, that's the problem. The priorities are off. You could wait a year to get your light fixtures,
yes,
your next bonus or whatever, right?
Yep.
Next dividend check. But you're not going to be able to go back and fix that roof structure now. So to me, it's, you know, dollar wise, pound foolish, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
Me, I'd rather have pull chains throughout the house and get the house energy efficient. I can always buy a fixture each month and hang it.
Right. Yep. You got it.
So people's priorities have to change. They have to think about, not to mention what her cooling bills would be today.
Yes.
Had she done that, it'd probably be half the money.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. All right. We've got James on the line here. Let's go to the phones. Oh, he already got that. Yes, Robbie?
James, are you the...
Hey!
Are you the James who emailed me?
I am the James who emailed you. Hi,
okay,
Robbie.
I'm just trying to find the question that you had, and I just wanted to make sure that
what?
You
well,
are
why don't
the
you
James.
Just ask him.
He can ask him what his question is.
No, okay. I'm just saying if it was a different James, then I'd have to continue to find the question.
No, okay. No. It's the same James. I wasn't sure if that email went to the right place. Anyway, hi, Robbie. Nice
hi.
To talk to you. First time caller. I've listened for quite a while. Hi, well, Rich and Ron.
I appreciate that you said hi to me first. Thank you.
Well, of course I have to say hi to Robbie first.
Thank you.
They'll give me flack for
yes.
not doing so.
Right.
I was going to say
anyway,
something, boy.
On to my question. I have a two-part question. I recently installed a ridge vent in my attic space because my home is 960 square feet attic space. And it only had three box vents up top.
Okay.
And it has under-eave vents across the whole 36 feet of the house.
Okay.
On both sides. But I'm still seeing my attic temperatures above 40, 50 degrees above outside temperatures.
Okay. What color is your roof?
First question would be, would adding a radiant barrier between the trusses help alleviate that since I already have the under-eave venting? And second part would be, I know you guys are against power attic vents.
We're not against
it. Would adding a gable-powered vent help at all?
Yeah.
Since I have enough attic ventilation that it won't pull from the it won't pull from the living space.
Right. So we're not against the fans, attic fans or gable fans, as much as we're making sure that you air seal at the ceiling.
The lid.
And make sure that you're not drawing inside conditioned air up through into your attic, and you're actually then now air conditioning your attic, you know. So, generally speaking, you want to air seal your attic first if you're going to go ahead and put that fan in. And I've also seen where the drywall, somebody had 3/8 drywall right underneath where the fan was, and the drywall was floating in the access panel going up because they air sealed everything, but they didn't air seal that attic, you know, the attic access. So now that drywall dances in there. So you have to kind of watch that also, that making sure that you insulate and seal that attic access.
Right.
And then you can put a fan in. You can do that if you want. But your radiant barrier is also a good plan, and you can just staple that to the backside of the trusses. And now what that also does is creates these venting channels from your soffit up to your ridge vent. And it makes that, you know, flow a little more energy efficiently. Now, Rich was going to probably talk about square inches of ventilation per square foot.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that. And then also the radiant, because we use radiant plywood on a lot of homes.
Okay.
And the radiant plywood can decrease the temperature in the house or the attic by a good 15, 16 degrees. I mean, literally was building two houses, one with radiant plywood and one without. Neither house had windows in them yet. So this is, you know, just under roof, so to speak.
Right.
And it was probably 80 degrees outside, but I swear it was good 10, 15 degrees cooler in the house with the radiant plywood, you know, just because it's radiating that heat back out.
Yep.
So, but they make... instead of trying to staple stuff up, they make cardboard panels for trusses with the foil on them, and you just bow them, and they just friction stick between the trusses. And what's great about those is you can get them in there and slide them down. It might be easier than trying to crawl around with foil, but it does work. And
yeah, like Renson, I agree. I got a 12-4 pitch roof. It's a low pitch roof, or 4-12.
Oh, yeah.
I forget which way it is, but it's a low
pitch
roof.
Yeah, it's 4-12. Yes, but that makes it hard to get out to the wall then, you know, to the very end of the roof.
Yeah.
So, because it's pretty shallow by that point.
Yeah, I was thinking I'd take out the under eaves and replace them since they're kind of old anyway.
You could do that if the soffit venting, but yeah, go back real quick. We're running out of time in this segment, but the soffit venting, your roof venting on a 900-plus square foot house, you need 3 square feet of venting. So that's 3 square feet. Your typical mushroom vent is like 0.6 square feet. So it just in mushroom vents, you know, you would need a bunch more. Your ridge vent, depending on which one you put up, did you use Cobra vent?
I used the Owens Corning. It calculated out to about 1040 square inches.
1040 square inches?
Somewhere
right
around there. It was like 36 feet of, it's the rigid stuff you can get at the Big Yellow or Big Orange, whatever one's not the depot.
I'm not a really big fan of ridge vent, because unless the opening, like, that stuff is vented that way, but unless you've actually cut your ridge, the plywood, back far enough, it doesn't breathe enough. So, mm-hmm. You know, there's always install problems.
Trust me, I did. I went over 2 inches on some of it.
All right, good.
Okay.
On accident.
Then I would check your soffit vents and see if they're not clogged or blocked.
Yep. Make sure you get that cleaned up. Put the radiant barrier in there. I think you'll make a big difference. Thanks for the phone call, James.
Thanks, James.
All right.
We'll be back right after this. You're listening to...
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I want to find that sad finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 847-475-1590.
All your answers. All right, there we go. Coming back. Wrong phone number. 877-711-5611 is the phone number if you want to give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. If you do give us a call, you have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at
MrFloor.com.
All right. With that... I think I'm going to just turn this down. We were talking through the break there about insulation. Give me that question again there, Rich, about spray foam.
Larry was asking about having somebody come in and, you know, foam his attic or whatever to improve his efficiency. So, like I said, you know, Innovative Insulation, they come in, they'll vacuum out all of the old insulation out of your ceiling joists and everything. Right. Well, at that point, would it not be better to just spray foam the bottom of the roof deck?
It's possible, and I think if you, you know, it depends on the pitch of your roof, but it's going to probably, if you look at the square foot, you know, how many board feet of insulation you need.
The ceiling would be less than the roof.
Correct, depending on the pitch of the roof. So I think it's still a little less expensive just to spray the backside of the drywall with, you know, 6 inches, and then you can cap that with more insulation if you want.
Well, I suppose the other thought too is that, you know, obviously lived in Chicago my whole life and built up there. We don't put stuff in the attics.
Yeah.
We don't have mechanical equipment. I don't put ductwork in the attic. So technically we don't put the stuff outside the building envelope. So I think it's less of an issue. So I think you're right. Probably just doing the ceiling would be more than adequate.
Right. Yeah. It depends on what you need, what you want to use that space for.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to finish covering that from the weekend.
No, that's okay.
Are you ready?
You know, I paid complete attention to Rich's tip of the week.
Yeah, you do.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
I know.
So I'm going to get out one word and we're done.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Where'd we go? Oh, you can watch us on YouTube. And if you are watching this on YouTube, you can find older Clutter Clarity segments on there. Just look for our own page there, Mighty House Radio on YouTube. You can hit the subscribe button if you wish, and that way you'll be notified anytime we put one up. And let's see, where is it? Oh, man. Oh, there it is. Clutter Clarity is powered by Mr. Floor Cleaning Products.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It sounded like you had more to say.
I did. Right here. You ready? Here it goes. Do you have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get that jumbled hodgepodge pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgevacation. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Cluttered Clarity on Mighty House.
Save me from this prison. Lord, help me get away. Cause only you can save me now from this misery. I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
All right. What I can tell you is Clutter Clarity is powered by Mr. Floor. Mr. Floor cleaning products are all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com.
I've been doing a lot of closets lately.
Oh, yeah?
I'm a little upset that Randall...
Are you coming out of the closet soon?
...didn't have any Clutter Clarities for me today, last 2 weeks. He did. So next week, I'm counting on you.
Consider it done.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I've been doing a lot of closets lately. First thing, it takes longer than people think.
It's a closet.
I thought we'd be done by now.
It's a 3x6 little space.
Second thing, it will be amazing. You will feel when it's done. You will feel great about yourself. Take everything out of the closet.
What?
Take it all out. Yes, because you know what you find?
Stuff.
You find that...
Chicken feet.
You find chicken feet. You find every type of hanger imaginable crammed in between clothes.
Uh-huh.
You find clothes that you haven't worn in years, and you pick it up and say, wow, this is cute. I didn't know that I had this.
Mm-hmm.
Not I don't remember this. I didn't know that I had this. Take everything out. If you have somebody help you, they just hold it up, and it's either yes, no, donate, you know, get little sections ready, because a lot of people are like, oh, that's not mine. That belongs to so-and-so. Oh, I think I'm going to give that to my sister. Oh, this is definitely a donation. Oh, this needs to go to the dry cleaner. Oh, so your closet is filled with things that you're not even using or wearing or don't belong to. So take everything out. Have somebody hold it up piece by piece. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Then take it out of the plastic. As we talked a moment ago in the green built tour.
Right.
The plastics from the dry cleaner, unless you're going to a green dry cleaner, they're holding all the chemicals in there.
So they trap all the chemicals.
They trap all the chemicals, so it's all trapped in your house. Some people would say when you take home clothes from the cleaners, hang it outside for a while. Oh, yeah, to air it out, to get the chemicals. So take it out of the plastic before you even put it in the closet.
Okay.
So I have some people who say, well, then what's going to protect it from the dust in the closet? Well, guess what? Rich?
Plastic.
You shouldn't have dust in your closet.
Why?
No.
Because
you've already cleaned it out.
Yeah.
Cleaned everything.
Your closet should be clean, for one. For two, if your clothes have been in there long enough to collect dust on them, you don't wear them.
I can get rid of my suit?
Yeah. Excellent. You don't need them. Okay.
Excellent.
I know. It's nice when I pull down a certain shirt here and there and you got to...
Uh-huh.
Right.
Get the lines off.
Because there's dust all over. It's ridiculous. Okay. So I have a client who has 4 different sizes of jeans in her closet.
Well, it depends on the time of year. I get
seasonal.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you got your winter weight that you put on, and then, you know, and then your spring
Definitely.
And summer, your fall is always going to be the smallest pair that you've got because you've been out running around all summer long.
I'm just saying that maybe you don't need 4 different sizes in your closet.
But then you bulk up through the winter. So, you know, it's just constant.
Just
cycle.
Maybe. I'm just saying maybe. Just, ladies, you know what I mean. You don't need it because realistically, okay.
Are you ever going to fit back into those 30s?
Right. Yeah. So I said, realistically, the size, you know, keep the 2 sizes or whatever, the size that you think you just joined a gym.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you might. So box it up. Put the date on it. If in a year you haven't gotten down to that size, donate the whole box.
Okay.
Okay, so when you're reorganizing everything, on this side of the closet you have shirts, and that side you have shirts, and over there you have shirts. Okay, put them all on one side, please. So you're going to arrange it by style. That's what I like to do. There's different ways to do it. So I start with, like, the sleeveless tank tops, something like that, like completely no sleeve. And then, like, a sleeveless kind of T-shirt. You know the difference. Like, okay, and then you're going to go sleeves, long sleeves. Mm-hmm. And then after the long sleeves, you're going to do the sweater. So the categories in sweaters, you could just do all sweaters. You could do the cardigans, the pullovers, so on like that. So you're going to organize it first by style.
Mm-hmm.
No sleeves to sleeves. So it looks nice in the closet. So in the closet, it goes like that. Or, and then.
How's it go? Okay.
And then within the category, you're going to organize it by color. And the rainbow color, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. So I like to start with white, which isn't in the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And then at the end, you're going to do black. Okay? So you're going to go white to black.
And how's that go? Does that make a sound?
Roy G. Biv. That's the sound it makes. Roy G. Biv.
Okay.
Okay. So then you're going to want to hopefully use all the same hanger. So you don't have, you know, those boxy, people put their shirts on the boxy clip hangers because that's the only thing they have. You're going to want to have all the same hangers. You're going to want to face them all the same way. And when you think about putting everything back in your closet, when you look at your closet, do you stand this way? It makes a difference. Do you stand and look at your clothes this way, or do you stand and look at your clothes this way? So not only do the hangers face the same way, but the clothing all face.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.